Welcome to Adaptcast, Adaptive's business podcast. I'm today's host, Anna Lee, and during this episode, we are diving into a topic that's becoming essential for modern organizations, business process automation. But here is a real question. How do we actually recognize which processes have automation potential? Because not everything should be automated. And automating the wrong thing can actually make things worse. Joining me today is Francine Bobrus, an Adaptive Senior Project Manager and consultant who helps companies streamline their operations and implement automation the right way. Francine, welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Anna. I'm excited to be here. This is really a topic I'm passionate about because automation, when done right, can transform a business. But it all starts with choosing the right processes.
And let's start and let's kick off with the question of the basics. When we say a process has automation potential, what do we actually mean?
Great question. Well, when we talk about automation potential, we're really looking for processes that are repetitive, rule-based, and time-consuming. So these are tasks that follow the same steps over and over and over without much variation. Another aspect we look at is the efficiency gap. If a process is currently taking a lot of manual effort and there's a clear way to speed it up or reduce costs using technology, that's usually a sign of automation potential. And finally, we're looking for processes where automation can reduce human error. So manual tasks, especially data entry or transactional works, these are prone to mistakes. Automating those parts not only saves time, but improves accuracy.
So summarizing, it's not just about bringing in tech because it's trendy. It's about matching the right tasks to the right tools.
Yeah, exactly. It's about being strategic, not just being digital for the sake of it.
Yeah, exactly. What are the first signs you notice that suggest a process might be a good candidate for automation?
Usually, I look for three things. So the first thing we look at is volume. If a task happens frequently, like processing hundreds of invoices every month, that's a clear flag for potential automation. And the second thing is error rates. So if there's a lot of mistakes being made by people because the task is either repetitive or simply boring, then it probably means they're not adding much value doing it manually. And the third thing we look at is time consumption. If employees are spending hours every day on low-value work that doesn't require creativity or problem-solving, that's usually a candidate for automation.
From your experience, do you find that companies usually know where these pain points are, or do you sometimes have to uncover them?
Well, I would say it's a mix. Some companies are very aware of their bottlenecks, but often there are hidden inefficiencies that really only become clear when you map out the entire process.
I understand. And when you start working with a company, how do you begin analyzing their processes for automation opportunities?
So the first step is usually process mapping. We sit down with the team and document every step in the workflow, often through workshops or interviews. This helps everyone to visualize how things are actually happening and not just how they think it happens. Then I spend some time observing workflows directly. So I'm watching how employees actually perform the tasks, and this can reveal shortcuts, workarounds, or problem areas that will never show up in the documentation. And finally, we really need to take a deep look at data. We measure things like how long each task takes, how many errors occur, and how much it costs the business. That helps us prioritize where automation will make the biggest impact.
I see. That makes sense. Do you ever find resistance at this stage, like people feeling threatened or worried about their jobs?
Absolutely. It's natural for people to feel cautious when they hear the word automation. That's why it's so important to communicate that the goal is to remove the boring, repetitive work. The goal is not to replace people, but to free them up for more meaningful tasks.
I see. There is sometimes confusion, from what I understand, between process optimization and automation. How do you differentiate the two?
Ah, good question. Yes. So optimization is about making a process more efficient. It might still involve manual steps. So, for example, you might reduce the number of approvals in a workflow to speed things up. Automation, on the other hand, is when you use technology like robotics, artificial intelligence, or workflow tools to actually perform the tasks automatically. So the process runs with minimal human intervention. And, you know, sometimes optimization has to come first. You can't automate a messy or broken process because you'll just end up making mistakes faster. So we often streamline the workflow first and then we automate it.
So would you recommend optimizing first and then automating, or can we do both at once?
Well, ideally, you want to optimize first to create a clean, consistent process. But honestly, in reality, sometimes it's a mix. We can fix as we automate.
Okay, let's then start with the common mistakes in choosing what to automate. Because you've just mentioned a very great point, but I imagine companies don't always get it right. What are some of the common mistakes you see companies make when they are trying to identify what to automate?
Well, one big mistake is trying to automate complex or unstable processes first. If the process keeps changing or has too many exceptions, it's going to be difficult and costly to automate. Another common issue is skipping documentation. You know, if you don't fully understand how a process works today, then you can't automate it properly. You need a detailed map of the current state before you design the future state. And lastly, companies sometimes ignore the human side. Automation isn't just about software. It's about change management, training, and getting people on board.
Oh yeah, so true. So it's not just about tech. It's also about culture and process maturity.
Yeah, exactly. If you ignore the people, even the best technology can fail.
Uh-huh. Something I've always wondered. Just how important is process standardization for automation?
Well, it's absolutely critical. Standardization ensures consistency, and automation thrives on consistency. If every team does the same task in a different way, you can't automate it easily. So automation struggles with exceptions and variations, and the more you can create a clear, repeatable workflow, then, you know, the easier and more effective automation will be. If you don't standardize first, you might end up automating chaos. And that just, you know, creates faster chaos.
Yeah, really. I guess if a process changes every week, it's pretty hard to automate, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like trying to hit a moving target. Stability is key.
Okay, then let's shift to the people side for a moment. How do you prepare employees when a company decides to automate processes?
Well, that's a really important part of the journey. First, you need clear communication. Explain what is being automated and why. You know, address fears early on. Change people's resistance into insight by having open communication and discussions on all levels. And then, of course, you need training. Upskilling employees to work alongside automation is key. They might become process owners or focus on tasks that require more judgment. And then finally, it's really important to involve employees in the design process. They often know the workflows best and they can help shape the automation solution. So from a human perspective, it is also much easier to work hard on implementing an automation if you were part of the initial design and solution. So if you do it right, automation becomes a team effort, not just a tech project.
Building on that, I assume that there are other topics you are dealing with. That's the biggest myth about business process automation you hear.
The biggest myth is that automation will instantly solve all process problems. Some people think if you automate, the process will magically become perfect. But if the process is bad to begin with, then automation can actually make it worse. I would say another myth is that automation will lead to massive layoffs. And really, in reality, most companies use automation to help their people focus on higher value work and not to cut jobs. And then I think finally, one of the myths is that people think it's just a technology project. But really, it's about process thinking, collaboration, and continuous improvement.
I love that point. So it's really about mindset and approach, not software.
Absolutely. Tools are important, but mindset makes the difference.
Let's address something that you just mentioned. This fear that automation replaces human jobs. Do you think automation and human work can coexist?
Ah, definitely. They have to coexist. I mean, automation is best at handling repetitive, rule-based tasks, but humans are still needed for judgment, creativity, and relationship building. In most cases, automation just removes the boring manual work, and now employees can focus on higher value activities. So the key is really to think about automation as a collaborative tool. It's definitely not a replacement. It's augmenting human capabilities, not eliminating them.
One of the big questions from leadership is usually, what's the ROI? So how do you approach measuring the return on investment for automation?
Great question. Return on investment is critical. You look at time savings, of course, you look at error reductions, and you look at process speed. So how much faster or cheaper is the process after automation? And of course, you can't forget the hidden cost. These include like compliance improvements, better data quality, and employee satisfaction. Those are harder to quantify, but very real. So typically, we calculate the ROI by comparing the cost of the automation implementation to the long-term savings. And for the right processes, the returns can really be substantial. So it's about looking at both the financial and the operational impact.
So true. So a lot of people listening might be thinking, what's next? What trends do you see shaping the future of automation?
Well, I think the biggest trend is the integration of AI into automation. So we're moving beyond simple rule-based automation into systems that can make more intelligent decisions. There is also hyper-automation, which is when a company combines multiple technologies like robotics, process automation, artificial intelligence, and workflow management to automate the entire process end to end. And then, of course, there's the rise of citizen developers. Tools are becoming so user-friendly that non-technical employees can build simple automations themselves. It's empowering, but it also requires good governance to make sure it's done correctly.
Citizen developers, you said? That's interesting. Never heard about them. May I please ask you to explain?
A citizen developer is a business user who creates apps or workflows using low-code or no-code platforms, so helping to solve problems without needing deep programming skills.
Let's get real for a moment. Do you think business users will really be building their own automations?
In some cases, yes, especially for the small department level tasks. But for larger or mission critical processes, it's still smart to involve experts.
Francine, this was a great conversation. I think a lot of our listeners will be thinking differently about automation now. Not just what to automate, but how and when.
Thank you again for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to AdaptCast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share it with someone who might benefit from it. If you want to know more about our today's topic or any of our service offerings, please check out our website at adaptivesag.com. See you on the next AdaptCast.